Invite you to look with me in Acts chapter 19, if you would. The book of Acts chapter 19. Beginning with verse number 8. Paul had laid hands on 12 men who were foreigners or barbarians to the Hebrew people. In other words, they simply did not speak the same language. And they had been followers under John's preaching. And John baptized them with the baptism of repentance, to turn away from their sins and be baptized as a washing away, and then to look for the Lord to come, who John preached would baptize them with the Spirit. And so these men had not heard of Christ's resurrection from the dead and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this is that transitional period as the gospel spread through the then known world and as the church was being established. And Paul explained truth to these men. They believed, they were baptized. And tongues was evident that they spoke in another language and praised the Lord. And we see that in chapter 19 and verse 4 through 6. Verse 7 tells us it was 12 men. Now Paul, fresh off this, goes into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, pay attention to that expression, that way, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Father, as we look into your word today, I ask that you'll help me to be a pastor that feeds the flock, and that you will speak to us by your Spirit today through your word. Magnify the Lord Jesus. May he be exalted. May the word of God be exalted. And I pray your blessings upon your people for their faithfulness. Draw us close to you, O Lord. Help us to have that desire to serve you and to please you with our lives. We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Paul enters the synagogue fresh off this experience with these 12 men and spoke boldly for 3 months in the synagogue. He's a part of this chapter deals with the battle between the Holy Spirit of God and Satan and false teachers and the opposition that comes, because every time someone tries to stand up for the Lord and do what is right, there will be opposition. We see Paul, after he laid hands upon these men, now having great boldness in the Spirit to stand before the Jews in the synagogue and proclaim Christ and teach them about the Lord and all the things of God. And we call Jesus the Christ in our language. To the Hebrew people, he would be the Messiah. They would say Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And we're Christians walking close to God, filled with the Spirit, evidenced through our daily life. Are there songs and hymns and spiritual songs and praise to God in our daily life? Now, I know we often get a little empty spiritually and we are not as active in our praise, and we're not as active in our witness, and we're not as active in the things of God, because we're working a job, it's hot, we're cutting grass, we're doing the things at home, and all, sort of hard to be real joyful and praising in times like that. But we must be people to remember that our responsibility is to walk with God every day. Paul has a particular boldness at this time, and there should be times of that particular boldness in our lives if we're walking with God in the way that we should. His boldness gave him strength to speak up for the Lord. because of his witness of Christ in the gospel. You remember the Philippian jailer who came and wanted to know what he could do to be saved after seeing God break the jail down with an earthquake. He'd heard Paul and Silas singing praise to God into the night, even after they'd been beaten and imprisoned. And why were they beaten and imprisoned? It was not because of crimes. It was because they had witnessed for Christ, and opposition was there. Well, why are we not speaking up for the Lord? Is it because of fear? Is it because we are too busy? Is it because we have selfish pursuits that take all of our time? I don't know. I think it's a little of all of those in most of our lives that hinders us from being the ones who speak boldly for the Lord and witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the battle of the flesh. Satan's temptations have caused the church to lack power of God because of the lives of God's people not being spiritual but carnal in how they live their daily lives. In Acts 4:31, the place was shaken with the believers there. And chapter 4, verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." There's no tongues associated with that experience of being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants control of our life. Control of our minds to think on God and the Word. Control of our actions as we live for God day in and day out. Control of our desire so that we are not following temptation in desire to do sinful things. And if we are totally yielded to God, He's totally in control. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And it reacts on people in different ways, of course. But there's an excitement and an exuberance about people that are filled with the Spirit, about being a witness for Christ, about telling the story so that others might be saved. Paul later declares at Ephesus that he warned every one of them day and night through tears for 3 years. So this debate for 3 months in the synagogue and then moving to the school of Tyrannus went on for some time, and with all probability it was not just maybe in the synagogue, it was only on the Sabbath day, which is Friday from sundown until Saturday at sundown, and they would meet publicly in the synagogue, and Paul was there, and he wasn't just casually teaching, he was disputing with them, convincing them of the truth of the Scripture, of the prophecies of Christ, and telling of the resurrection from the dead. When is the last time that you and I had our attention so focused on God and our heart was so moved that we wept in prayer over being a witness or over souls that will die and go to hell and face God in judgment? That's easier for us to do when it is an immediate member of our family or some loved one that is a dear friend that we know is not saved, who we would pray for and maybe shed some tears. And Paul warned day and night through tears for 3 years to the people of Ephesus to convince them of the truth of the Scripture. Are we taking our responsibility seriously? Since we've been saved by grace, as this song Wesley sang today, I'd never heard that song before. Somebody did die for us. Christ died for us. And we need to remember that. We must not forget that. And we must recognize the importance of His death, that it saves souls for those who believe. Today, most Christians can show you picture after picture of where they've traveled and all the experiences they've had in life. But do we have records of those that we've led to Christ? Are there people in the church because of us? Are there those that we have witnessed to and told the gospel to and Can we tell experiences of that more than just sightseeing places that we travel to? Sadly, after 3 months of Paul's boldness in the synagogue, you see, we look back at the Apostle Paul now and see the great man of God that he was and all that he did for God, and we admire him greatly, the sacrifices that he made, the times he was imprisoned and beaten and suffered shipwreck in his travels, and all these things that he went through to preach the gospel of Christ. The people of that synagogue had no idea the kind of man that was standing before them trying to get them converted. When you go back and read Romans 9 and 10 and 11, you find his heart for his people was broken because they had not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they were lost and they were trying to establish through religion their own righteousness and they were failing. And Paul said he could wish himself a curse from Christ if it would mean that his brethren, the Jewish people, would be saved. He had a heart that was moved and he was concerned for the lost. For 3 months he debated with them, and then divers, the Bible says, spoke against him, spoke evil of the way. Divers is a Greek word where we get our English word diversity. And it is a pronoun meaning basically just some. There were some who spoke. Specific ones stood against Paul and spoke against him and spoke evil of the way. And the way became an expression that was used in the early Christianity for Christianity. The way was Christianity. The way is Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so the way was referring to Christ and the church and Christianity, and it became a badge of honor for Christians to wear, but it was a way that the Jewish people rejected that way. They disputed with Paul, and he gave evidence from Scripture. And it was not just a lecture-type teaching there in the synagogue, but there would be question and answer and debate over the answers and those kind of things that was taking place. Now, Satan is behind all false teaching. And Satan moved some to seek to kill Paul, just as Satan moved the leaders and the Pharisees to murder the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted him dead. They wanted him stopped. They didn't want him preaching. They didn't want his miracles. They didn't want anything to do with him. And Satan is behind that kind of influence. Every time there is a spread of the gospel and people are getting saved, you can mark it down, my friends. The wicked one will be there to do all the confusion and trouble that he can possibly spread. He was seen in the Garden of Eden in the beginning of our Bible, when he questioned the Word of God with Eve and with Adam. He was seen in Egypt through the magicians who tried to duplicate the miracles that God used Moses and Aaron to do to show the people who the true God is. And they tried to duplicate those miracles. And they did an amazing job duplicating some things up to a point. But it didn't take long before the true God demonstrated his power that they could not match. The same way with Elijah the prophet, who let the prophets of Baal work for hours and hours to try to get their God to speak. And there was nothing from him, of course. And then Elijah just prayed and fire came down from heaven and devoured the sacrifice and the altar and all the water they poured on it. And the power of God was evident there. Satan has worked against the things of God through all time. He's seen in false teachers who lead men and women astray from the things of God. It angers me. It gets me concerned when there are popular speakers in the world that teach people there's another way of salvation other than through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And I expose them and would debate them and would speak against them because they're the cause of some believing their message and going astray. We've seen people like Jim Jones, the pedophile and the false teacher and lead people into murdering them by drinking Kool-Aid with an AR-15 pointed on them that was filled with poison. And some 900 people died. He murdered an American congressman or senator, and those that were with him trying to find out about what they were doing with these people, leading them astray. And that's been repeated over and over and over again. Maybe not to the degree with that, but with the kind of teaching and lying and deception and all that that goes along with it. Paul leads the disciples of Christ to separate themselves from the synagogue and finds a meeting place in verse 9 and 10, the school of Tyrannus. Now, I guess this is where the term Tyrannosaurus Rex comes from. You know, Tyrannus means our tyrant, is what that means. Whether this was a lecturer, a philosopher, he had a particular school here, whether it was named for someone, or that was the actual person doing teaching there, Paul is given license to use this facility. Could be because of the Jews' rejection of him and their treatment of him. It's possible that the school here saw Paul mistreated by them, and so they opened the door to him. It's also possible that there could be a Christian involvement, that they saw the need for someone to preach the gospel and spread the gospel and open the door to him. We aren't given the details there. For 2 years, Paul teaches daily, assaulting the power of darkness, delivering believers who trust in Christ, making disciples of men who hear the messages and believe the word and grow in their faith, becoming disciples of Christ. God grants open evidence of miraculous things that take place through the hands of the Apostle Paul to confirm the power of God and the truth of God. We look at chapter 19, it says in verse 11, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. There were miraculous things taking place. Then it says in verse number 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That's a pretty bad beating, isn't it? Get all your clothes tore off and have to flee in a religious contest. Well, these men thought that they could mimic the power of God. They considered themselves exorcists. No doubt they were some who charge people a fee to exorcise demons from their family members or their children. And there is nothing in the Bible that teaches us that we are to act in this way. This idea of exorcists in America today, people's theology too often comes from a Hollywood movie rather than from the Word of God. There's nowhere where God tells us to go out and exorcise demons out of unsaved people. Nowhere He gives us a formula or for a way to do that. And we may have a confrontation with a person who is possessed of demons, but we must be careful because the Bible says in Jude verse 9 that even Michael, the archangel, would not bring a railing accusation against Satan in a dispute over Moses' body, but said unto him, the Lord rebuke thee. So we're told to be cautious about a fight with Satan, about a confrontation with him. Jesus simply said to Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. He told him that he was distasteful to him and to get behind me. We're never told to be exorcists. We're not given a formula to use. That's too much of Hollywood and not enough of the Bible. We're given a formula in case of personal attacks that we feel are coming from Satan in the book of James, chapter 4 through 10, chapter 4, verse 4 through 10, that we are to submit to God first of all. We feel like we're under oppression of Satan. We feel like we're under temptation of Satan. Number one, submit yourself to God. Humble yourself to God. Seek the Lord. Tell God you need His help. And then resist the devil and he will flee from you, the Bible says. But in the context, it tells us to avoid pride, to be humble, to avoid being worldly in our approach of God. We're to cleanse our hands as sinful people and draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. And we certainly need God's help if we get in a confrontation with the devil. We need the power of God. Now, these Jews were called vagabonds. And vagabond means strolling. It refers to wanderers. In other words, they were travelers. They were not set up in one location where they stayed, but they went from place to place, and they considered themselves exorcists. So no doubt they were selling their trade from place to place to place, and they sought to use what they saw miracles taking place because of Paul. They began to use Paul's name and the name of the Lord Jesus that Paul was preaching, thinking this would give them some power as they faced demonic spirits. Verse 13 through 16 of Acts chapter 19. The result is these men were attacked by the demon-possessed man. We learned at the demoniac of Gadara, where Jesus went to the country of the Gadarenes, and two men out of the tombs came and met him. In the Gospels, one Gospel focuses on the one man that was possessed of many demons. And Jesus expelled the demons from him, and they went into the herd of swine, and they ran violently down the hill and into the sea. Well, in the context there of that confrontation with a demon-possessed man, the Bible says that man, people had tried to bind him. They tried to tie him up in ropes and things, and he just broke free. And they tried stronger things, and he just broke free. And he cut himself and made noise, and he was possessed of a demon. He was going out of his mind. He was self-destructive. And that's what demonic spirits will do to a person. It promises them the pleasures of sin, and it leads them to self-destruction. And we see many people in that vein in their lives today. Alcohol and drugs and sexual experiences beyond the norm of what God allows have caused many to die at their own hand as a result of their sinful living. And so here we see that the people of Ephesus saw when these were attacked and beaten and ran away, we find that that Paul says the people of Ephesus saw where the true power of God was. It was in the Lord Jesus and the preaching that Paul was doing, not in these vagabond exorcists and what they tried to do. And so they magnified the name of the Lord. Verse 20 says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Paul preached so people were delivered from sin. And he always gave the credit for that to the Lord Jesus Christ. He never took credit himself. And we must be careful of that because people have a tendency to be men worshipers rather than God worshipers. We have our heroes. We like to boast about particular people and the great events that they have done and the great great power and strength and all that sort of thing. But the one who deserves all the praise, honor, and glory is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gave Himself for us. He's the one that can save us from sin. He's the one that can empower us to live the life and overcome demonic spirits. And the result here was tremendous. They saw truth, and the people brought out their idols and their books and things that were connected with seeking worship. Go ahead and answer that. It might be God. It's okay. I know one preacher says he fines his church members $25 if a phone goes off in church service. I said, I don't do that. Somebody might have an important call. Beside that, it's happened to me before. I don't want to pay $25. Well, there were things these people had that were related to spells and magic and that sort of thing. $50,000 in value, 50,000 pieces of silver of that day. Their coin for a day's wage, no doubt 50,000 of these in value, they piled up and burned as a result of the truth of the preaching of the gospel and the seeing the power of God and what took place. A lot of folks who get saved rid things out of their lives that they had before they got saved. Pornography, vile music. Boy, today we have young people listening to rap music. They're some of the vilest, filthiest garbage that's on records that feed the minds of some of these young people. Sometimes they can't even understand the words they're saying. They just like the rhythm of the music or something of that nature. And they must be very careful because liking the rhythm, they're still their mind is being infested with the words and the vile things that are said in some of this music. Bad language and drugs and videos and any of that kind of thing. We had a young girl got saved in this church and got baptized in this church. And within a few weeks after she got saved, she told me that she had thrown away thousands of dollars worth of jewelry and a pocketbook and some things like that that she had stolen in going to department stores. Over a period of years, she had stolen jewelry and things, and she didn't have any idea which store the particular things came from. And so when she got saved, she put it all together and put it in a dumpster. And I thought that was something to be admired, that she wanted that away from her. It was something she had stolen. It was something reminded of her past sin. It was something she wanted rid of because she didn't want to look at those things knowing that she had stolen them and not purchased them. There's a lot of people ought to get rid of a lot of things in their home. Brother Elmer Deal, missionary to Belgian Congo for over 25 years at one time, and then later after governments changed, he went back there again for a number of years, built more than 25 churches in the years he was there the first time, in the villages among the people. And Brother Deal said when he'd go into these villages where people lived in grass huts, they all had an idol in the hut. And it was their lucky charm. It was what they hoped would bless their harvest and their crops and all that sort of thing. And so he said he knew how serious they were about believing the Lord Jesus Christ when they went into their hutch and got their idol and brought it out and put it in the fire and burned it because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was assured there was a change that had taken place. It was real. They knew now that was no longer a power that was real. God is the power that is real, and they believed on Christ as a result of it. Back in early America, people sought the Lord in a serious way. During the time of Prohibition, during the time of the Depression, there were cities where very few churches existed, and there were evangelists that went around the country holding citywide type meetings, tent meetings, preaching in big buildings. And sometimes the famous ones like Billy Sunday and Billy Graham and people like that, Billy Graham came along later, they would build a tabernacle somewhere, a building that would seat the people, and they would hold services, and they wouldn't hold a week revival meeting. They didn't hold a 2-week revival meeting. They'd hold a 6-week revival meeting every day, and they'd preach, hellfire and brimstone. And at the end of a 6-week revival meeting, quite often liquor stores would close down and beer joints would close down, and marriages get put back together, and the Holy Spirit was working in a mighty way in converting many people as a result of that. Fort Mill, South Carolina is where a man was born by the name R.G. Lee. R.G. Lee was just a sinner saved by grace, but he became a great Southern Baptist pastor. He was the pastor in Memphis, Tennessee, where Adrian Rogers followed him as the pastor of that church. When Dr. Lee was there, they had 12,000 people on Sunday morning. After Adrian Rogers came, they built a new building, and they got up to over 25,000 members in that church. And Dr. Lee was a southern gentleman. He spoke with a strong southern accent. He learned a new word every day, and he would use words in his sermons that you might have to go home and look up, you know, after you heard him preach or something, or maybe he would define it while he was preaching. And for many years, he was a man that had the power of God. He was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention a couple of times, and he'd preach at the national meetings of the Southern Baptist Convention, and men who were liberals and modernists would get up and walk out of the services because he'd preach the Bible as the Word of God, and he'd preach the truth of the Word of God, and a lot of them don't want to hear that. And Dr. R.G. Lee held a two-week revival meeting in Chester, South Carolina, and baptized 200 converts as a result, and that's where they formed the First Baptist Church of Chester, South Carolina. That was not uncommon. That was not rare in that day and time, but it happened all over this country that men would go and preach and hold long-term revivals and get a lot of people saved, and those that got saved would get formed into a church. Sometimes they'd attend more than one church, of course. And that was people seeking the Lord in that day, and it was the saved people who wanted to see the lost people get saved and to see churches established that was the result of. I'd love to see the power of God work, that in a community there'd be a change made where morals and ethics and all that would be affected. Now, Paul leaves because there's no small stir about the way. He leaves the Jewish synagogue. There can be no compromise with Christianity and Christ rejectors, with false teachers, with evil spirits. Paul warned Timothy of the last days where perilous times would come and men would be exposed to doctrines of devils and would follow that kind of teaching rather than the teaching of the Word of God. These idol worshipers of Ephesus became angry because Paul's preaching and the Holy Spirit working and the power of God, so many people got converted, they quit buying idols and they quit buying these curious arts, as they were called. And so they wanted Paul put in prison for killing their craft. And they sought to do that, but God delivered him. It's amazing that man can look up at the sky at night and see what's in the heavens. And instead of recognizing there's a God that made it all, they worship the images themselves, the sun and the moon and the stars. God said they're without excuse because even his eternal power and Godhead are revealed unto them. And he said the reason men are like that is because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Because of the vainness of their own minds, they turned to other things. Thanks be to God, we've had ancestors that turned to the Lord and tried to set the groundwork for Christianity and churches in America today. But we know clearly there's a battle with that we face. It's important that we walk with God, live for God, and are bold in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We ask your working in our midst. We pray that the Holy Spirit will have liberty now in this moment to work in hearts. There may be somebody that needs to be saved today, Father. We pray for them particularly. We offer them our help to seek you through the Word. We pray, Father, for your people to draw close to you, that we might cleanse our hands and purify our hearts and draw unto thee so that you will draw close to us. Magnify Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.